Sodor Stories presents Branch Line Engines, based on the Railway series by Reverend W. Audrey, and read by Toby Yelland. Thomas the Tank Engine has worked on his branch line for many years. "You know just how to stop," laughed his driver. "You can almost manage without me." Thomas had become conceited. He didn't realize his driver was joking. "Driver says I don't need him now," he told the others. "Don't be so daft," snorted Percy. "I'd never go without my driver," said Toby earnestly. "I'd be frightened." "I'm not scared," boasted Thomas. "You'd never dare." "I would then. You'll see." It was dark the next morning. The firelighter came. Thomas drowsed comfortably as the warmth spread through his boiler. He woke up again in daylight. Percy and Toby were still asleep. Thomas suddenly remembered. "Silly stick in the muds," he chuckled. "I'll show them. Driver hasn't come yet, so here I go." He cautiously tried to pull one piston, then another. "They're moving," he whispered. "I'll just go out, then I'll stop and whoosh! That'll make them jump." Very, very quietly, he headed for the door. Thomas thought he was being clever, but really, he was only moving because a careless cleaner had meddled with his controls. He soon found his mistake. He tried to whoosh, but he couldn't. He tried to stop, but he couldn't. He just kept rolling along. The buffers will stop me, he thought hopefully. But that siding had no buffers. It just ended at the road. Thomas's wheels left the rails and crashed on the tarmac. "Horrors!" he exclaimed and shut his eyes. He didn't dare look what came next. The station master's family were having breakfast. Suddenly, the house rocked, broken glass tinkled, plaster peppered their plates. Thomas had collected a bush on his travels. He peered anxiously into the room through its leaves. He couldn't speak. The station master quickly ran out and shut off steam. His wife picked up her plate. "You miserable engine," she scolded. "Just look what you've done to our breakfast. Now I shall have to cook some more." She banged the door. More plaster fell. This time it fell on Thomas. Thomas felt depressed. The plaster was tickly. He wanted to sneeze, but he didn't dare in case the house fell on top of him. Nobody came for a long time. Everyone was much too busy. At last, workmen propped up the house with strong poles. They laid rails through the garden. And Donald and Douglas, puffing hard, managed to haul Thomas back up to the yard. His funnel was busted. Bits of fence, the bush, and a broken window frame festooned his front, which was badly twisted. He looked comic. The twins laughed and left him. He was in disgrace.
"You're a very naughty engine."
I know, sir. I'm sorry, sir.
Thomas's voice was muffled behind his bush.
"You must go to the works and have your front mended. It'll be a long job."
"Yes, sir,"
fueled Thomas. "Meanwhile," said the Fat Controller, "a diesel rail car will do your work."
Diesel, sir?"
Thomas stuttered.
"Yes, Thomas. Diesels always stay in their sheds until they are wanted. Diesels never gallivant off to breakfast in station masters' houses."
The Fat Controller turned on his heel and sternly walked away. The Fat Controller stood on the platform. Percy and Toby watched him anxiously.
"Here," he said, "is Daisy, the diesel rail car. who has come to help while Thomas is, indisposed.
But please, sir, asked Percy, will she go, sir, when Thomas comes back, sir?
That depends, said the Fat Controller. Meanwhile, however long she stays, I hope you both will make her feel comfortable.
Yes, sir, we will, sir, said the engines.
Good. Run along now and show her the sheds. She'll want a rest after a long journey.
Daisy was hard to please. She shuddered at the engine shed.
This is dreadfully smelly, she announced. I'm highly sprung, and anything smelly is bad for my swerves.
Then they tried the coach shed.
This is better, said Daisy. But whatever is that rubbish?
The rubbish turned out to be Annie, Clarabel and Henrietta, who were most offended.
We won't stay here to be insulted, they fumed.
Percy and Toby had to take the coaches away and spent half the night soothing their hurt feelings. The engines woke up next morning feeling exhausted. Daisy, on the other hand, was bright and cheerful.
Ooh, ooh,
she tooted as she came out of the yard and back to the station.
Look at me,
she purred to the waiting passengers.
I'm the latest diesel, highly sprung and right up to date. You wouldn't want Thomas's bumpy old Annie and Clarabel now.
The passengers were interested. They climbed in and sat back comfortably waiting for Daisy to start. Every morning, a van is coupled to Thomas's first train. The farmers send milk to the station, and Thomas takes it down to the dairy. Thomas never minded the extra load, but as soon as Daisy saw the van was coupled to her, she stopped purring.
Do they expect me to pull that? She asked indecisively.
Surely, said his driver, you can pull one van.
I won't, said Daisy. Percy can do it. He likes messing about with trucks.
She began to shudder violently.
Nonsense, said his driver. Come on now, back down.
Daisy lurched back. She was so cross that she blew a fuse.
Told you, she said.
The shunter, the guard, the station master, and her driver all argued with her. But it was no use.
It's fitter's orders, she said.
What is?
My fitter is a very nice man. He comes every week and examines me carefully. Daisy, he says, never ever pull. You're highly sprung and pulling is bad for your swerves. So that's how it is, finished Daisy.
Stuff and nonsense, said the station master.
I can't understand, said the shunter. Whatever made Sir Topham Hatt send such a feeble...
Feeble,
spluttered Daisy. Let me tell you.
Stop arguing. We're late already,
grumbled the passengers. So they uncoupled the van, and Daisy purred away, feeling very pleased with herself.
That's a good story, she chuckled. I'll do whatever work I choose, and no more.
But she said it to herself. Toby the tram engine has cow catchers and side plates. They helped to prevent animals from getting hurt as they stray onto the line. Daisy thought they were silly. She said Toby was afraid of getting hurt.
I'm not, said Toby indignantly. You are? I've not got stupid cow catchers, but I'm not frightened. I just toot, and they get out of my way.
But they don't, said Toby simply.
They would with me. Animals always run when you toot and look them in the eye. Even bulls? Even bulls, Daisy said confidently. Daisy had never met a bull, but she purred away quite unconceited. At the level crossing, cars waited behind a gate to let her pass. She tooted at the farm crossing, and the horse and cart halted as she went by. Phew, she said. It's easy. I just toot and they all stand aside. At the next station, a police officer was waiting.
There's a bull on the line, he warned them. Please drive it along towards the farmer.
Daisy was excited. Now, she thought, I'll show Toby how to manage bulls.
Champion wasn't really a fierce bull, but this morning he was cross. They had driven him away before he finished breakfast and tried to put him in a kettle. They pulled him, pushed him, prodded him, and slapped him. But he wouldn't go.
Moo!
He broke away and trotted down the road. He saw a fence, jumped it, and slid down the slope. Champion was surprised. This was a new kind of field. It had brown tracks at the bottom. But there was plenty of grass to eat each side, and he was still hungry.
Eww! Tooted Daisy. Go on!
Champion had his back turned to her. He was too busy to pay attention.
Eww! Eww!
Said Daisy again. But Champion kept on eating.
This is wrong, thought Daisy. How can I look him in the eye if he won't turn around?
At last he did.
Moo, he said.
He came towards Daisy, still chewing. He wondered what she was. Daisy tooted again.
Why doesn't he run away?
The guard and policeman tried to shoo Champion, but he wouldn't stay shooed. As soon as they turned away, he came back.
Moo.
He was a most inquisitive animal. Go on, Daisy, said his driver. He's harmless.
Yes, said Daisy unhappily. I know he's harmless. But does he know he's harmless? Besides, look at those horns. If I bumped into him, he might hurt me. Them. The farmer wouldn't like that.
Champion came closer and sniffed at Daisy.
Oof,
said Daisy. And that was that. Daisy backed hastily away. Toby was surprised to find Daisy back once more at the station. And the passengers told him about the bull. He chuckled. Bulls always run when you toot and look them in the eye. Eh, Daisy? Daisy said nothing. Oh well, Toby went on. We'd live and learn. I'd better chase him for you, I suppose. And he clacked away. But Champion took no notice to Toby's bell or whistle. He didn't move until Toby whooshed his steam. Then Toby gently shooed him along the tracks where the farmer and his men waited. Daisy had an exhausting day. Toby and Percy often met her on their journeys and thought they'd never mention bulls. They gave her pity looks. It made her cross. Her last journey ended at the top station. Some boys were on the platform. Suddenly, one of them came running, holding a paper bag.
Look, he shouted. I've got a quarter of bullseyes. I think they're super, don't you?
They shared the sweets.
Ugh, said Daisy. Keep your old bullseyes.
And she scuttled to her shed.
Moo.
Toby brought Henrietta to the top station. Percy was grumpily shunting.
Hello, Percy, he said. I see Daisy's left the milk again.
I'd have to make a special journey with it, I suppose, grumbled Percy.
Anyone would think I'd had nothing to do. Toby pondered the problem. Tell you what, he said at last. I'll take the milk. You fetch my trucks. Their drivers and the station master agreed. They thought it would be a nice change. And both engines set up. Percy trundled away to the quarry. He had never been before. It's steep, he thought. But I can manage. Trucks don't dare to play problems with me. He marshaled them in a lordly way. Hurry along there, he said, and bumped them if they dallied. The trucks were annoyed. This is Toby's place, they grumbled. Percy's got no right to poke his funnel in here and push us about. They whispered and passed the word. Pay Percy out! Pay Percy out! At last they were all arranged. Come along, puffed Percy sharply. No nonsense! We'll give him nonsense, giggled the trucks. But they followed so quietly that Percy thought they were completely under control. They rumbled along the line until they saw ahead the notice saying, All trains stop to pin down brakes. Peep, 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 whistled Percy. Brakes guard, please. But before he could check them, the trucks surged forward. Go on, they cried. Percy, taken by surprise, could not stop them. And in a moment, they were careering down the hill. Help, help, whistled Percy. The man on duty at the street crossing rushed to warn the traffic with his red flag. But it was too late to switch Percy to the runaway siding. A slow-moving cockerel lost his tail feathers. But Percy couldn't bother with him. He had other things to worry about. Frantically trying to grip the rails, he slid past the engine shed into the yard. Look out, he whistled. His driver and fireman jumped clear. Percy shut his eyes and waited for it to end. At the end of the yard, there are sheds where workmen shaved rough stone brought from the quarry. Then they load them into trucks, which are pulled to other sidings out of the way. A train of these stood here when Percy was slithering down. The guard had left his van. He was talking to the station master. Then they heard a frantic whistle and a splintering crash. They rushed from the office. The brake van was in smithereens. Percy was perched on a couple of trucks, while the other trucks were piled up behind him. The Fat Controller arrived next day. Toby and Daisy had helped remove most of the wreckage. But Percy was still on his perch. We must now try, said the Fat Controller crossly, to run this branch line with Toby and a Diesel. You have put us in an awkward predicament.
I'm sorry, sir.
You can stay there, the Fat Controller went on, till we are ready. Perhaps this will teach you to be careful with trucks.
Percy sighed. The trucks wobbled beneath his wheels. He quite understood about awkward predicaments. The Fat Controller spoke severely to Daisy.
My engines do not tell lies, he said. They work hard and with no sulking. I send lazy engines away.
Daisy was ashamed.
However, he went on, Toby says you worked hard yesterday after Percy's accident, so you shall have another chance.
Thank you, sir, said Daisy. I will work hard, sir. Toby says he'll help me.
Excellent. What Toby doesn't know about branch line problems, said the Fat Controller, such as, bulls, isn't worth knowing. Our Toby is an experienced engine.
Thomas came back next day, as Percy was sent to be mended. Annie and Clarabelle were delighted to see Thomas again, and he took them for a run at once. because they hadn't been out for a while as he was away. Thomas, Toby, and Daisy are now all friends. Daisy often takes the milk for Thomas. And when Toby is busy, she takes Henrietta. Toby had taught Daisy a great deal. She shooed a cow off the line all by herself the other day. That shows you, doesn't it?